My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Ain't got an hour left. I'm what? Kyle, that's James. We'll give way to D'Lo and KC at noon. I want to thank everybody for riding with us, whether you're on the radio, the free Odyssey app, or on ESPN 1320 TV. Twitch.tv/ESPN1320 or YouTube.com/ESPN1320. You can participate. You can watch there, and you can participate in the Chatty House. We have a ton of fun in there as well. So I want to talk more about these Pascal Siakam numbers and why the latest news on what he wants and doesn't want just kind of confirms that the move doesn't really make sense for the Kings. We'll talk about that from a financial standpoint, though. Not necessarily a basketball standpoint, but before we get to that, I want to get to the 7 Kings wins you made in heaven. I was cool. Thinking about this today.
Okay.
On the way in, and I was like, man, it feels like they've really hit the spectrum of types of wins this year.
Okay.
They've had blowout wins, and they've had come-from-behind wins, and they've had blowout losses, or They've had games where they're getting blown out and they come back or blowing somebody out and then it gets closer than it needs to. So I put this list together. So I'll tell you the list and then we'll run through some of the games and why they're in those marks. Okay. The first Kings win you meet in heaven. The we're gonna be championship win. This is a nod to Leandro Barbosa, something he said during the 2015 season when he was with Golden State. He said, we're gonna be championship. So, and now he's on the Kings staff. You didn't make that connection. So, Shout out to Leandro Barbosa. But the Kings have 2 wins like this. November 24th at Minnesota, when they won 124-111. And then December 31st at Memphis, when they won 123-92. Best defensive performance, Mike Brown said, the best defensive performance they've had since he's been here.
Yep.
It's like, man, what a team. Went into Memphis, who was hot, and blew him out. All right.
Came back the next game at home and lost Charlotte Hornets. Just saying.
It's tough.
Go ahead.
All right. I need to roll through. I'll roll through them and then we'll go through some of the games. All right. Then there's the measuring stick win. That is the second Kings win you meet in heaven. The measuring stick win is like, all right, good win. That kind of shows you where you stack up with some of the other top teams in the West. All right. Number 3. Oklahoma City. Let's just play Oklahoma City and beat them. All right. Number 4. A vibes win. Get a win, and there's great vibes around that win.
Okay,
some really really good vibes. And I had a hard time with that one, so we'll discuss it. Number 5, the sledgehammer win, just the blowout, just dominated team start to finish.
Yep,
and you feel good about it. All right, number 6, the 6th Kings win you meet in heaven. The would have been a loss 5 years ago win. It's a lot of them. That's the biggest category.
Oh.
We'll dive into those. And the final Kings win you meet in heaven is the win that felt like a loss.
Oh, yes.
That's not exclusive to the Kings. Every team has those. So I mentioned that we're going to be championship wins. The measuring stick wins this year. I have both the wins against Phoenix, the early December one at Phoenix, the late December one home against Phoenix, and then the December 2nd game against Denver.
Okay.
I marked those down as games that, okay, Phoenix a little banged up for both of them. I think the first one, they didn't have Kevin Durant or Bradley Beal. The second one, they did not have Bradley Beal. But you went into Phoenix, handled them. You handled them here at home, even with Kevin Durant. And then the Denver one, Denver was on the back end of a road back-to-back. So it's like, okay, that's where the Kings are. They're playing in this pool. They're playing in the deep end with the top teams in the West.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed? Disagree?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay.
Like, those are big. They're your signature wins of the year. And again, I think the funny thing is when you look at a box score, when you look at a list of games that the Kings won,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't show things like that Denver was on the second night of a back-to-back.
Right.
Right? If you're on a back-to-back, yeah, when you're looking at the schedule. So you have to kind of dive deep into some of these wins and be like, okay,
yep.
like how big of a win was this? I would say measuring stick wins, like the OKC games too.
Mm-hmm.
Like there
I just wanted to make a little joke with that one. It was going to be six, and then I was going through. I was like, they beat OKC. They handled OKC on November 10th without De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
And then they beat him again in mid-December.
Yeah.
I mean, two separate months, two separate versions of each team. They've won both, and Oklahoma City is sitting there near the top of the West, and the Kings have two wins over them.
Exactly.
So. Oklahoma City, that's pretty self-explanatory. The Vibes wins.
Okay.
I have the season opener at Utah.
Yep.
That was Harrison Barnes goes off and it's like, oh, pff,
Vibes.
Kings are back.
Yep.
The November 15th game at the Lakers, 125-110, just kind of smoked them at crypto.staples. And then the November 28th win against Golden State, that was the 23-point comeback.
Okay.
Great Vibes win.
That's the in-season tournament game.
Yes.
That's that win, and that was Great Vibes. Great
yeah.
Vibes.
Yeah. Especially because I think the in-season tournament played a role because of the point differential stuff. And so as the Kings are climbing back, it's like, man, they just got to cut it under 12, I think, or 11, whatever it
yeah.
was. Like, get it to 10, and you can lose the game, but move on, and all right, it's not that bad of a... And then they came back and won the game outright. The Sledgehammer wins... Cleveland 132-120 at home without De'Aaron Fox.
That was a huge win.
Yes, looked like they were in a different class than Cleveland. Dallas November 19th at Dallas 129-113. I think Luka and Kyrie combined for 48 points in that one.
Yep.
And the Kings did a really nice job and blew them out in Dallas.
They have a problem that like I watched their game they lost last night Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It's two dudes and nothing
That's
else.
It. It,
they are like the 2014, 2015 Oklahoma City Thunder. It's like two dudes and you're getting zilch.
Yep.
You're bad. Go ahead.
That's what they were. Last year, they were one dude and nothing else, or a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And now they're just two dudes and nothing else.
Yeah.
December 11th against Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
131-118. That was a game that we're going in like, man, Brooklyn, they can defend. Boy, they can shoot the three. Boy, this is a team that gives the Kings trouble, and the Kings is no trouble.
No trouble at all. They walked in, thumped them, and walked out the door.
December 16th against Utah, 125-104. That was the Keegan Murray 47-point night.
Oh, yeah.
Sledgehammer game. And then December 18th against Washington, 143-131, but that game wasn't as close as the final score.
No.
Yeah.
Kings, not at all.
Kings let Washington climb back down at the very end. Would have been a loss 5 years ago. All right. This is a long one.
Oh.
Pause. November 17th at San Antonio, they won 129-120, but they fell behind 23-7 in the first quarter.
Yep.
They came back to win that one. December 29th at Atlanta, they were down 31-8 in the first quarter and came back to win. I think the Orlando game, 138-135, double OT, I don't think they win that one 5 years ago.
Okay. No, that's a good one. I mean, like toe-to-toe with the team and who's going to come out on top.
I waffled on whether to make that a measuring stick game.
Yeah, I don't make it a
good in the East.
They are, but they also lost Franz Wagner and Harris in that game, Gary Harris in that game.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And so it takes away a little bit for me.
Okay. All right. January 9th at Detroit, that was last night. They were down 18 after the first quarter and mm-hmm. down as many as 20 in the first quarter. of January 5th against Toronto, 135-130. They lost the second half of that game 73-58. And Toronto had multiple chances to tie it late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they were up 20 something at half. They yeah. It was 70.
I left.
It was 71-49 at half, something like that.
Yeah, I went, "Hey, you know what? I'm getting out of here. I had a long drive home. If it was close, I was going to stick around, but all right, I'm out."
Yeah.
And then I get home and 1-5.
Like, what in the world?
Wins that felt like a loss. October 29th against the Lakers, 132-127 in OT. That was a game De'Aaron Fox got hurt. And if you remember earlier in the year,
oh yeah,
it's like, oh boy, like this is because all the prognostication about the Kings before the season was, hey, there's no way they stay healthy again. And then De'Aaron Fox in like the second or third game twists his ankle. And then November 8th at Portland, that was the 121-118 OT win against a very shorthanded Blazers team. That was one of those ones that we came in and it was like, boy, like they won, but
isn't it weird that twice you've lost a you went to overtime and one game you lost to Portland?
Yeah, I wonder if that's just kind of an odd matchup thing for them.
Well, a lot of it is that you don't have anyone to match up with Jeremy Grant. And while I don't think Jeremy Grant is like the end all be all, he's long, he's athletic, and he just keeps scoring on the Kings.
Yeah. So that's it. The seven Kings wins you made it happen.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, you did. You spent some time on that.
I did.
Yeah, I dig it.
Thanks.
There are a lot of games this year. We could do the seven or the nine levels of hell. Like, because I am actually took an entire course on Dante's Inferno in college. And,
as one does.
Yeah. And I could sit here, you know, like we could.
If you want to put that together, by all means. We'll
maybe
do it
maybe we can do that tomorrow.
Or let's save it for next time they lose, which may be tomorrow.
Tonight, you mean.
Tonight, yeah, which tonight. May be the show tomorrow.
Yeah. That's funny.
All right. Let's get into, we're going to bring back Good, Bad, and Ugly. We haven't done that in a while, but I think it really fits last night's game. We need to get to the sound from the Toronto Raptors coach last night.
Absolutely love it.
I have never heard a coach, Darko Rajkovic, I have never heard a coach lay into officials like this. And if you've not heard it, you're going to want to stick around and listen. That's coming up next.
Absolutely love
on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Well, damn. I was going to get to sound from the Raptors coach, but before we do that, we have some breaking NFL news.
Hot diggity.
Not anything I expected. I wrote down yesterday on the rundown the possible coaches who could still get let go. Mm-hmm. Matt Eberflus in Chicago, although reports this morning say that he's sticking around for 2024. It was Mike Vrabel who got fired right before the show. There's Bill Belichick in New England, Mike McCarthy if Dallas flames out early, Nick Sirianni if Philly flames out early. Like, there's all these things. Pete Carroll is out as the head coach in Seattle. That's according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Carroll is expected to be out as the Seahawks head coach. He could still remain in the organization, but not as the head coach. Damn.
Wild.
Damn. I get it, though. Like, at some point, a thing runs its course, and it feels like the Pete Carroll thing had kind of run its course.
Okay. I mean, like, look, they did have, like, a pretty strong collapse, but I also did not think that they were nearly as good as people thought they were.
Well, I think they as a team thought that, like, okay, hey, we're ready to compete with the Niners. We're ready to compete in the NFC. And then they missed the playoffs entirely, and they didn't get better.
Well, yeah,
and they've now been since, like, the Russell Wilson, the peak Russell Wilson was 10 years ago.
Yeah, but I would also say, like, watching last season, they overplayed their talent level by so far. So if you're going to give him, if you're going to bump him out the door because he took a team that had no business being as good as they were last year and helped lead them to what they were able to accomplish, and then like use that as a standard the next season when you still didn't have the talent? I don't know. That's tough.
Well, here's the other thing. Geno Smith is 34 years old. He's under contract through 2025.
Mm.
And if you're thinking about moving on at quarterback or bringing in a new quarterback, you probably want to hire a new head coach who is going to be able to pick that quarterback. Because if you roll with what you're rolling with and maybe you draft a quarterback and you invest resources into that position and you're like, all right, hey, this is going to be it, and you do that with Pete Carroll,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't work, now you're setting yourself back. So I think here they're just kind of getting ahead of that.
No, I think it's probably the right move too. Like, you're right. It does run its course. He had a great run, 14 seasons.
Incredible.
Two Super Bowl appearances, one victory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he put them back on the map because they weren't on the map. They had
they were going nowhere, man.
Downtrodden franchise for a long time.
Yeah, no, he hell of a run for Pete Carroll, especially you consider his time at USC. The fact that he went from unsuccessful NFL head coach to college, very successful college coach, back to the NFL to be a very successful NFL coach for a decade and a half.
Yeah.
That is a really remarkable run. So shout out to Pete Carroll. His tenure as the Seattle Seahawks head coach is over. All right. If you've not listened to the sound from last night, the Raptors lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. And the Lakers in the final frame shot, I believe, 29 free throws. Is that right? 29 free throws?
I think it was 22-23.
They shot a ton of free throws in the final frame for the game. The Raptors shot 13 free throws. It was 36 for LA in a 132-131 win for the Los Angeles Lakers. In the last quarter, 23 free throws for the Lakers. Two for the Raptors. Two in a one-point Raptors loss. And their head coach, Darko Rajakovic.
Sounds good to me. Let's roll with it.
Our guy Darko let this rip in his post-game press conference.
That's outrageous. What happened tonight, this is completely BS. This is shame. Shame for the referees, shame for the league to allow this. 23 free throws for them, and we get two free throws in the fourth quarter. Like, how to play the game. I understand respect for all stars and all that, but we have star players on our team as well. How's possible that Scotty Barnes, who is all-star caliber player in this league, he goes every single time to the rim with force and trying to get to the rim without flopping and not trying to get foul calls. He gets two free throws for the whole game. How is that possible? How are you going to explain that to me? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win. But that was not fair tonight. And this is not happening first time for us. Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star. He's going to be the face of this league. And what's happening over here during whole season, I've been calling you back, it's a complete crap.
I'm a winner.
Incredible. If you're going to be a head coach and you are going to unleash your fury,
yes,
on the officials, that's the way to do it. Don't go, I disagreed with the calls. Or, that was bad officiating. That was a bad... Nah, let it rip, dude. This is not just tonight. This is all year. Small nitpick. Scotty Barnes never going to be the face of the NBA. And that's fine. Scotty Barnes is an excellent player.
He's the face of NBA Canada.
You go. All right, that's fair. But, no, I'm with him, man. I know that officiating is a problem in the NBA, and I know that the NBA will come out and tell you that they review these plays and refs are held accountable and this and that, but a 23-2 free throw discrepancy, and this is a great point. With the Warriors, you'll see that, especially during the prime of their run, you would see that a lot, where there'd be these huge free throw discrepancies in favor of the other team. But it's like, yeah, that's what happens when you shoot a lot of three-pointers,
mm-hmm.
and you're not trying to get to the rim. And when you're undersized and the other team is trying to get to the rim and you're fouling. But that's not the team the Raptors are. He says it. Scotty Barnes goes to the rim with force. Scotty Barnes is a big dude. There's no way every time he goes to the rack, he's not getting a foul. And if you're calling so many fouls on the Raptors, where the Lakers are shooting 23 free throws, if you're going to call that type of game, then the Raptors should be shooting more than two free throws. We just saw it here in Sacramento. They like to go to the rim. They like to play in the paint.
Yeah, they're physical. They attack the rim.
Yes.
They are a very, very physical team. And, like, look, we've seen this play out in Sacramento so many times. Like, I get it. I'll tell you, Scotty Barnes against the Kings, zero free throw attempts. The next game against the Warriors, zero free throw attempts. The next game is this game that he's talking about. He has two. But, man, like, look, this
Scotty
is,
Barnes is getting fouled more often than that. Trust.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a complete crap. This is completely BS.
I love it. I love that this is now part of our...
I wish that he was a listener of this program. And I wish that he had closed that rant with this.
You can suck it. Thanks.
No, Thanks, Kyle. Just... Like I said, I'm almost always, with exception, I am almost always in the camp of, meh, like, the refs, yeah, they could make bad calls, but there's other plays that you could make that eliminate the refs from the equation, this and that, da-da-da-da. That's usually where I land. And I usually land on, yeah, you know what, a couple bad calls when it gets the 49ers in the Browns game.
Yeah.
But they've had bad calls go their way too. And over the course of however many games, I think it kind of comes out in the wash. Whatever. A 23-2 free throw discrepancy, and you just read it, Scotty Barnes has shot two free throws in his last three games.
Yeah.
I love that the coach went out. This is not a one-off.
No.
This was not the Lakers complaining that LeBron James gets fouled too much and that they're sending video to the league and stuff.
Even though he's like fourth in the league in free throw attempts.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, frankly, they probably have a point. But this is crazy. This is outrageous. And I think that you have a head coach going up and not only standing up for his players, but trying to even this thing out. Like calling out I think it needs to happen more often. And I commend our guy Darko for coming out and saying frankly what needed to be said in that spot.
It's a complete crap.
I agree. It was a complete crap.
Yeah. I can't and I also want to thank him for giving us just...
This is completely BS.
Some incredible, incredible stuff.
He does. He gave
us... On the board.
On the board. The board. I might need to be able to touch the board at this point. Like, I'm not supposed to touch anything, but I might need
we
to.
We can...
Like,
I will... Hopefully, before you get in here tomorrow, I will set that up in there so I can show you how to do that. It's really? Very easy.
Should you, though, Kyle?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a page, and you'll have buttons, and then you just click those buttons.
Awesome.
You're
I'm
welcome.
In.
All right. Anyways, we're going to get to good, bad, and ugly, but that got derailed by our guy.
You know what we should do right now, while we still have like 45 seconds?
We should
probably announce our Jiffy Lube player of the game for last night.
Yeah, Jiffy Lube fast break player of the game. It's Domas. Domas. So here's what you're going to do. ESPN1320.com. There's a Jiffy Lube logo front and center.
That's right.
Click on that. Enter the code word Domas. Domas. Because Domantas Sabonis is the Jiffy Lube fast break player of the game.
37 points, 13 assists, 10 rebounds.
If you do that, enter the code word DOMAS, you will be entered to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. We've had a ton of people in the chat already win.
Mm-hmm.
And Manny was here yesterday, standing in the window awkwardly. I was like, Manny, what's up? I was waving. He gave me double birds. It's crazy.
I did see him there like...
Yeah,
ESPN1320.com,
Jiffy Lube logo, click that, enter the code word DOMAS, and you will be entered to win a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube, courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. And let me tell you, I went to Jiffy Lube yesterday.
Well, that was awesome.
2 days ago.
2 days.
It was great. Got my car done, in and out of there, a little oil change, a little transmission fluid, whole tire rotation, feels great.
Awesome.
When your car has 250,000 miles on it, you notice those things.
You better take care of it.
Got to. And Jiffy Lube. Took good care of me. They'll do the same for you. So get that $100 gift certificate by entering today at ESPN1320.com. Code word DOMAS. All right. Good, bad, and ugly from the Kings game last night. There's plenty of both. Plus a little bit of NBA coaching news as well. And then we will get to your three keys to a Kings victory tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. That's coming up next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a complete crap.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon, talking a ton about the Kings' win over the Pistons last night. There was also a little bit of Pascal Siakam news. Did you want to run through those numbers still?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so we're going to put good, bad, and ugly from the Kings game on the back burner. Maybe we'll do that with Kenny or D'Lo when they come in. But if you missed the top of the show, Sam Amick reported this morning in The Athletic that Pascal Siakam, quote, would not be excited if he were traded to Sacramento. Sam has a couple of league sources that said the Kings should have very little, if any, optimism about Siakam re-signing this summer if they were to land him. And he also reported that Siakam is seeking a full term, and this is the important thing that we're going to talk about. Siakam is, and this is directly from Sam Amick in The Athletic, Siakam is seeking a full-term max salary deal no matter where he ultimately lands. And while Siakam has not asked for a trade, the sources say he doesn't view the Kings as a good long-term fit if the Raptors choose to move him.
Okay.
So initially, the thought was, hey, if Siakam doesn't want to come to Sacramento, the Kings could still conceivably trade for him and then see if they can convince him to stay over the course of this year, try and, you know, make a run this year. But the long-term, full-term max salary contract thing throws a wrench in this that made you say, like, well, then it's off.
Yeah, because that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, and we're talking about a guy who's almost 30, mm-hmm. right? This is not... if you're paying a max extension, we're talking about 30, 31, 32, 33, 34 years. That's his 5-year deal would cover those seasons. So I made a small, like, we have a little whiteboard, and it shows like what a King's salary would look like if we were to do something like this. Mm-hmm. And what I would like to point out is, so a contract, we keep hearing a 4-year, $192 million contract for Siakam. If he gets traded somewhere, he's going to want the 5th year, right? This is like, he's going to want the 5th year. And that 5th year, the first year is going to be at about like 42 million, and then 46, and then 50, and then 56, and then that fifth year is going to be like $60 million.
That's a lot of millions.
It is. So I think it's okay. You're okay in year one, where, you know, the league salary cap for next year is 144 to 145 million. If you take Fox, Sabonis, Murray, Monk, and Siakam, the deal that we've talked about that Monk could possibly get, right? This 17.4 million to start. These are all like approximated all the way through, but this 17.4 million, you'd be at $145 million. So the problem that you have is that's with only five players.
Yikes.
$145 million with five players, which means you at least need nine more players to fill out your roster. You can still get in probably underneath the luxury tax in this situation. Year two, we have this. It jumps to 158. That's a lot of money. And you're like, okay, but that still might be possible. Then you start talking about, hey, TV money might come in. Like, things could change. You might be okay.
Sure.
Right? We get to year three of this team. And again, if they're a championship team, hey, that's fine. All bets off. We're totally fine with this. But if we get here to year three, Fox now, because he's an all-NBA player, and he'll probably be a multi-time all-NBA player, he can sign an extension that starts at $52 million, goes up to $56 million. Just look at Brown's salary from the Celtics, right? So that's a concern. The other concern, Sabonis jumps up to $48 million. Now, here's the other deal. Keegan Murray, he's due his rookie scale extension. God. It's going to jump to $28 million. Right here, we have Monk, over $20 million. Siakam jumps to $50 million. Your payroll's $198 million. And again, Kyle, we're talking about five players. Now, we get to the fourth year. You're at $215 million. Siakam's making 56. De'Aaron's making 56. Sabonis is making 51. Keegan's making 30. Malik Monk is like wondering, where is my money at $21.5 million? And that's saying that you did not add anyone else. And that's why it's really dangerous. Really dangerous.
So more or less, to compact all that down.
Yes.
Let's say Pascal Siakam does go, hey, you know what? I'm now amenable to signing with the Kings, but only on that full-term supermax deal. That is essentially, okay, so let's say it's the Barnes, Herter, Mitchell trade. Okay, so that's the players.
Yep.
Those are the players. And then you're bringing in Pascal Siakam.
Yes.
So it's those three players, but then down the road, it also probably means no Keegan Murray?
Possibly.
Assuming that he earns a max rookie extension?
Yep.
Which I think he's tracking toward?
Yes.
And then what does that do about Malik Monk? Does that mean Malik Monk is also gone?
Oh yeah. I mean,
so now the Kings are trading, even if Pascal Siakam, so let's eliminate the whole he doesn't want to sign with Sacramento thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he did, even if he's like, yeah, that's where I want to be, but only on a full term max super max salary. It's now Barnes, Herter, and Mitchell, and then whatever picks, plus eventually Keegan Murray and eventually Malik Monk. Like, that to me is
very possibly the way that it goes.
The list of players that I would make that specific deal for is short as hell.
Super small.
And that list of players is all dudes that teams aren't letting getting away from them. So
they're the dudes. They're right. like not to disrespect Siakam, he's a good player.
Very good player.
But I don't think he'll be an all-star again. There's a good chance
he'd be pretty surprised.
He won't be an all-star again. So a two-time all-star, like, that's a lot to give up. That is like a tremendous amount. Now, you might not lose Keegan Murray. And I'll also say, factored in these first 2 years here where we have this, the first 2 years of this, you would have paid Harrison Barnes $18 million and then $19 million in year one and year two. And you would also have paid Kevin Huerter like $17 million and $18, $19 million, right? So the wash, it's close to wash. Maybe it's a little bit more money for Siakam in the first 2 years, but it's the third year, it's a fourth year, it's a fifth year. And again, if you're Monty McNair and you're right, and this makes you a championship team, hit that button.
Yeah.
Let somebody else pay the tab down the road. Let Vivek Ranadive like figure out a way to bring in like partners 35 through 45 as opposed to just like 34 partners. Have him bring in some more money and you know, like let's build this thing out and pay luxury tax out the, you know, wazoo for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But you got to be right. And if you're wrong, this is Siakam would have to be the guy that makes you a championship winner.
And he's not.
Well,
at least check that. I don't believe he is.
Okay. If you don't think he is, I understand. I totally get it. And I don't know if that he is. But that's why when you hear me say Kyle Kuzma, because in year three, right here, where we get to $50 million for Siakam, right there, and Kyle Kuzma is instead making $19.4 million, now I got $30 million to play with. Now I'm not at 198.5. I'm at 168.5, and I can start building a team. I still have the option to create something.
Yep.
If not, it's really, really difficult.
Yeah. And for people who couldn't see the whiteboard, it was all the numbers and all the salaries laid out. And that's, this is not about, and this isn't even about, this is not even about in a vacuum, Pascal Siakam and Kyle Kuzma. Because in a vacuum, to me, Pascal Siakam is a better player. So, and if somebody wants to quibble with that, fine. But for me, just
I'm with you. I agree. Okay.
So if somebody, like I said, if someone disagrees, then great. Then you should be even more for the Kyle Kuzma trade. But maybe you're sitting there going, Pascal Siakam's way better and gives the Kings a way better chance to win this year than Kyle Kuzma does. I would argue that may be the case for this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyle Kuzma keeps that window open over the next 3 years.
At least
the next 3 years.
Yeah, that and I would also say the problem that you have is in if Siakam leaves, you're in a whole bunch of trouble.
That's
the other problem. Right, if he leaves, you're in a ton of trouble because replacing salaries without having cap space is very, very difficult. And it's not just that you don't have salary cap space. You also don't have a $16 or an $18 million player to trade for someone else, mm-hmm. whether it's an expiring contract, whether it's whatever it is, a matching salary thing. You don't have the player to trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. Players, you can look at, it's horrible to do it, to look at them as assets, right?
Sure.
But they are, as far as a basketball team, but also their salary in itself, that block of money is also an asset that mm-hmm. can be traded for another asset. If you don't even have those pieces to trade,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a little dicey.
Man.
Yeah. Complex, man.
I wish the NBA just did it like the NFL.
Where everyone just like...
Here's the hard cap. However much you're making this year, that's what the cap is.
Yeah.
I know that you can mess with it a little bit in the NFL, but...
Yep.
All right. So, Pascal Siakam deal, if it's not entirely off the table, it's dangling on the edge. And I'd say it's probably... If he doesn't want to sign with the Kings, it's off the table.
Yeah.
So,
anyways. I mean, you do... In that situation, you give yourself a couple of months for him to change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know. I don't know that that's worth the risk at all because, you know, the one player who does know what this feels like is Pascal Siakam, who won a championship with Kawhi Leonard and then watched him leave that offseason.
Mm.
It's a complete crap.
That's what he said when Kawhi Leonard left. All right, let's real quick before I think it's going to be Kenny today, KC comes in for the handoff. Let's get to keys to the game. Sorry, real quick. 3, 2, and 1. Let's get to the keys to the game. James, what is your first key to a Kings victory tonight against the Charlotte Hornets?
Show up. You didn't show up in Detroit and almost got your bleep kicked.
You can say ass.
I can. You almost got your ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't show up.
BS.
It is completely BS. You gave up 47 points in the first quarter.
Boy.
You do that again, there's a good chance you're going to get in some trouble, although Charlotte is missing LaMelo, Mark Williams, Gordon Hayward, Frank Ntilikina, and then PJ Washington is doubtful, and Cody Martin is questionable.
Yikes.
So they're trying
the Kings,
to give you one.
What, the Kings possibly struggling against a bad shorthanded team? That's crazy.
What? It's crazy. Never... It's crazy, that's Kyle. Crazy.
My first key is along those lines. You got to play clean. The Kings, last night, part of the reason they struggled in the first quarter was because they turned the ball over, I believe it was 7 times in the quarter. They had 13 first half turnovers, 21 for the game. You can't have that. You have to take care of the basketball.
Yes.
Like that's true every game, but that's how bad teams stick around in these games. You take care of the basketball, you blow them out, and you move on with your road trip. Number two.
How about you take away Terry Rozier?
Ah, got to do it.
And the fact that you have to worry about Terry Rozier is a problem, but the guy's averaging 24 points a game. He is a bucket. He has been a bucket for years in the NBA. He's actually a pretty good basketball player. Mm-hmm. They have him. They have Miles Bridges, and then you're going to play against a bunch of randos. You might have Brandon Williams. I think Brandon Williams will be there. But this is not a good team takeaway. They're one player.
Brandon Miller.
My bad. Brandon Miller. Not.
I hope Brandon Williams isn't there.
Not Mark Williams. Yeah.
Is Brandon Williams allowed to practice?
No, he's not allowed to practice.
Okay. All right, just
Brandon
sure.
Williams is not allowed to practice or in the practice facility or at shoot around Kyle.
All right, good to know. He will not be there. This goes along with your Terry Rozier thing. You got a great, great Keegan Murray game on offense last night. He had a great, great Keegan Murray game on defense tonight. Whether he's defending Brandon Miller, whether he's defending Miles Bridges or Terry Rozier, Keegan Murray needs to be really, really good on the defensive end tonight.
Okay. I'm with you, and I would like to see Keon Ellis also step up and be the guy who you try on a guy like Terry Rozier.
Yeah, great.
I think
point.
That's a good matchup.
Yep. I think at some point, though, especially if it's close and it's late, I think you have to go length on Terry Rozier.
Yep.
Because if not, he's going to hit some wild shots over a guy like Keon. All right. Number three, last one.
Get your secondary guys going. And I know this sounds weird to call Keegan Murray, Kevin Herter, and Harrison Barnes secondary guys, but that's the job of Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. They are your primary ball handlers. They're your primary distributors. Figure out a way to get those two guys involved in what's happening, those three guys. And so it's not just Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox or Bus tonight. Mm-hmm. Like Malik Monk takes care of himself.
Yep.
These other three guys, somebody needs to help them get going. It's got to be Fox. It's got to be Sabonis.
I am right there with you. And you mentioned Sabonis. He is my third key. He has to stay aggressive.
Yes.
When there is a team that cannot guard him, that does not have the defensive presence underneath to make his life difficult, he has to eat. He has to go like 16 of 21. And that is just, oh, forgot to mute. There we go. That is just what it is with Domantas Sabonis. So I would like to see him step up tonight and stay aggressive. So that's where that's at. It's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building for the handoff. I love that Pirates hat you're wearing, man.
Oh, shout out to the Pirates. I ain't got nothing but love for the Pirates, man. Yeah, I don't know what is on in this TV in this studio, though. Dick
James
Van Dyke
doing,
right
James
here.
Is doing play-by-play right here.
It is Diagnosis Murder with Dick Van Dyke, and I left it on because Betty White was in the first episode when I came in. Hmm. Like a 70-year-old Betty White from many years ago.
Still a baddie.
Yeah. I don't even know what's happening at this point, but last time I looked, Scott Baio was making out with someone.
Oh, wow. I like the Dick Van Dyke show, like not this one, the black and white one. It was a good show. Oh, Mary okay. Tyler Moore is the wife. It was
the,
a good show.
The Dick Van Dyke show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I heard one critic say about it?
It's a complete crap.
Oh.
Wow. And this is completely BS. Wow. That's a strong... Wow. Dang.
You did see this, right? The implosion.
I did. I did.
Absolute.
I was
going
to say. I was hoping you were going to say no, so we could share it with you for the first.
Well,
time.
Well, sure with me. I want to hear it again. I only saw it once.
All right, great.
That's outrageous. What happened tonight? This is completely BS. This is shame. Shame for the referees. Shame for the league to allow this. 23 free throws for them, and we get 2 free throws in the fourth quarter. Like, how to play the game. I understand respect for all stars and all that, but we have star players on our team as well. How's possible that Scotty Barnes, who is all-star caliber player in this league, he goes every single time to the rim with force and trying to get to the rim without flopping and not trying to get foul calls. He gets two free throws for a whole game. How's that possible? How are you going to explain that to me? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win. But that was not fair tonight. And this is not happening first time for us. Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star. He's going to be the face of this league. And what's happening over here during whole season, I've been holding you back. It's a complete crap. It's a complete crap.
Mm. It's a complete
It's beautiful,
crap.
Dude. If you're gonna rage at a referee, that's the way to do it.
And he's right. Yep. He's 100% right. The only thing that I would like to see these guys do a little bit more often, and they wouldn't do it, is call out like the way these refs get played by the players.
Mm.
Instead of just saying like, oh, foul calls to this or free throws to that, like, yo, you're getting played every single time. Yep. Every single time there's a bump and the guy throws his head back all crazy, like you're getting played as a referee.
Yep.
And they allow it to happen every single time.
You know, I would point out too, I hope the Kings watch a lot of the footage back, because they do have players who in the heat of the moment do silly things. Like I would like to, like, if Mike Brown had five challenges and he used one every time Domantas Sabonis like looked at the ref and acted like he didn't foul somebody, he would lose every single one of those challenges.
Sure.
Every time, because even we saw it, well, two games ago where Sabonis, like with his fourth foul, was like, are you kidding me? How is this possible? Clear hand on the hip and clear push.
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, hey man, like you're fouling people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there are some guys, I do think that like if you look at the Scotty Barnes aspect of this, De'Aaron Fox goes to the rim all the time and doesn't get foul calls. And part of it is because he doesn't do the demonstrative Ja Morant head flip and try to get the call.
Right.
That's
right.
But hey, like if he doesn't want to play it that way, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. And I would tell to your original point with Sabonis and the coaching staff, like we would have a talk with all these guys at practice or shoot around or something and be like, look, if you did not foul, we will challenge. If you look back at us and we say no, that means you fouled. That's the end of the discussion. Like,
move on.
What are we arguing? I just watched the play. You fouled him. Or at the very least, you guys got to understand they're not going to overturn it. Even if it's close, there's got to be people that are like, yeah, they're not going to overturn that. There's not enough to say it.
Yeah.
It's not within the spirit of the game. It's not, hey, you're driving to the rim and you're getting fouled. If that's the case, then fine. And if the Lakers last night just got fouled a bunch of times and the Raptors are playing bad defense, and so be it. But like Kenny said earlier, that's not the case. It's guys that are, the move they're doing is strictly to try and go to the free throw line.
Right.
It's not to try and get to the rack and, hey, I'm too big and strong, you can't guard me, you're going to hack me on the arm, I'm still getting this layup.
Right.
I hate the rip through. It's not a basketball. You're not doing anything. You're trying to hit the person's arm.
Right. The Chris Paul move.
Yeah, we just Kevin call Durant it what it is. Does it.
Yeah.
It's the tossing the head back every time you put the ball on the deck. Defender gets into your jersey and throw the head back, throw the hands. It's like Kenny said. It's gaming the refs. It's not playing basketball.
You feel slight contact and you just jump to your left or right, you know, like out of nowhere and throw the ball up. Like, I understand what you say. De'Aaron doesn't do it all the time, but he does. It's an NBA thing. It's whack.
I'll tell you this really quickly before we got to go.
It's a complete crap.
It is a complete crap. The Kings, Orlando Magic go to double overtime, right? Yeah. Double overtime. If they would have had their challenge, which they should have had their challenge because they reviewed something and lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they would have had their challenge in the last seconds of that game, then the Paolo Banchero turnover would have been overturned.
Yes.
The Kings would not have gone a double overtime on the second night of a back-to-back. And then three games in four nights, they would not be in the same physical shape they are today if it wasn't for that. Yeah. And that's why these things do actually matter. Like missing on a coaching review, it matters.
Yeah. I agree. I do think, though, wasn't the Paolo out of bounds play the second OT?
No, that was going into regulation.
Yeah, because he tied the game with the possession that he got.
Good back. Lord.
That sent it to
that
overtime.
Sent it to double overtime.
Oh, no, I think that sent it to the first overtime.
No, because he hit a three in regulation, and then Malik hit a two in regulation to send it to overtime.
Okay.
Boy, what a mess. All right. Well, that's fun. Kenny, what do you guys got coming up?
Kings, Pistons. We're going to try and figure out what's going on with these Kings.
Yeah, it's a weird win. It's like a win, but it's kind of like, I mean, I guess.
It can't even really be too excited about, but we'll talk about it. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about it.
All right, that's coming up next. D'Lo and KC right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.